This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Mike Lindell joins us today, the one and only MyPillow. You can follow Mike on X, Real Mike Lindell, L-I-N-D-E-L-L. He also has a long story, which he talks about in his memoir regarding his addictive process. And he now has a network that he helps support others in recovery, LindellRecoveryNetwork.org, which I want to talk to him about that. We'll talk about MyPillow. We'll talk about his fight for election integrity. And Mike Lindell will be joining us in just mere moments.
Our laws as it pertains to substances are draconian and bizarre.
The psychopaths start this way.
He was an alcoholic because of social media and pornography, PTSD,
love addiction,
fentanyl and heroin. Ridiculous.
I'm a doctor for sake. Where the hell do you think I learned that?
I'm just saying.
You go to treatment before you kill people.
I am a clinician. I observe things about these chemicals.
Let's just deal with what's real.
We used to get these calls on Loveline all the time.
Educate adolescents and to prevent and to treat.
If you have trouble you can't stop and you want to help stop it, I can help.
I got a lot to say. I got a lot more to say.
Well, Mother's Day is upon us, and Genucel's Mother's Day sale has arrived as well. Perfect timing because Susan and I have upgraded our bundles with even more of our favorite skincare products, now for over 50% off. We've been working with Genucel for almost 2 years, and because Genucel makes really the best skincare products in the world, you'll see. In fact, you can see how my skin corrected and repaired in this moment from the show live on our stream. And we know it's important to you. Genucel products use naturally effective proprietary ingredients that are non-GMO, plant-based formulas made in the USA. Just some of the reasons Genucel has 400% the customer loyalty of other skincare brands.
I know I'm a snob about the products I use on my face. Everybody knows it. Every time I go to the dermatologist's office, they're just rows and rows of different creams. And then when I get to the counter, they're overpriced. All kinds of products that you can all find at Genucel.com.
For now until Mother's Day, order Susan's Essentials Package to get her favorite Ultra Retinol and Vitamin C Serum, as well as other skincare must-haves. Order right now at Genucel.com/Drew and get a free luxury spa box that includes their incredible neck treatment, a free gift, plus free shipping. That is Genucel.com/Drew, Genucel.com/DREW. Mike Lindell will be here in just a second. As I said, you can follow him on X at Real Mike Lindell. And I do suggest you check out his organization, Lindell Recovery Network, frankspeech.com also. And the book is What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. So please welcome Mike Lindell. There's the book, CEO, MyPillow. Welcome, Mike.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So, you know, I know a little bit about your condition, you know, having worked in that field for a long time. How long have you been sober?
January 16, 2009.
Congratulations. That's a big deal. And thank you for helping others in recovery. I mean, I know that's a, you know, my patients always tell me that's how they stay sober. You know, it's by keeping other people, being of service, at least to the ones that are serious. As my, I have had many recovering people over the years. Well, you know, they always tell me, I'll go to the mat if they're serious, but if they're BSing or obfuscating, you're on your own. Good luck with it.
Right. You know, for me, I always thought, I went through all different secular treatment centers throughout the 80s and went, you know, get your license back, get a DWI, get your license back, go play the game. And the instructors, since they had never been there, it was just like a game we were playing. And they put all the shame on you. Well, you spent all your money, you hurt your loved ones. Well, we already knew all this stuff. We're addicts. When I quit by the grace of God overnight, like my Lindell Recovery Network, it's all people that have been there. Like I've been there. I've been there. And if I want to hear from someone that's been there and they've made it through, that resonates with me. And And mm-hmm. I call them hope matches. You got a hope match out there, you know, same addiction, same, maybe same age or whatever, the commonality of the addiction and it's going, good. Wow, he made it through that. He made it through that. I can too.
Not only that, in terms of the peer model, you know, there is a program, you know, the mutual aid program does work. It stands up to scientific scrutiny as much as any other treatment modalities. And using peers is clearly the most efficient thing. Not only that, but there just aren't enough professionals on earth to sit on and meet the needs of somebody early in this process. They have huge needs, and it's only because someone has done it for them, the peer individual, that they're willing to do it freely for others. And guess what? More often than not, it's free.
Right, right. My LindellRecoveryNetwork.org, yes, wait on it, free.
And whenever that stuff is attacked, I'm like, "What is free? What part of free do you not get? This is a form of healthcare that stands up to scientific scrutiny, and it's free. And what is wrong with people? It's just odd to me. But there is usually, as you sort of alluded to, there needs to be some sort of spiritual program embedded in people's recovery.
100%. It needs to be faith-based. You got 85% success versus 5%. And it's, back when I quit everything overnight, 2 months later, I actually went to my church. It was a faith-based treatment center there. I went there to find out why I was an addict in the first place. And the first thing I did, I walk in the place and I'm going, and I'm bragging up on how many drugs I used to do and all this. They say, we don't care about that. We want to know it. Tell you, the person they said, tell us about your father. I go, what did my father have to do with anything? They started digging back. I come from a divorced family back when divorces weren't common back in, you know, 1969. And do I blame everything on that? No, but I'll tell you, the family unit, they did a poll once in Kansas of the felons that were in prison. Now, these are felons. What percentage of their parents got together, planned on getting married, got married, had the child, and then were still married while the guy or gal was in prison? 0%, everybody. 0%. As you get down to the county level, it goes up and up from there. So the family and God are so important in getting through that.
Yeah. Okay. So for sure. And finally, in the later 90s, 2000s, my profession started looking at something called the Adverse Childhood Experience Scale. And lo and behold, an adverse childhood experience is divorce, shocking, addict in the home. You know, somebody's an alcoholic, which I suspect you probably had that because the thing comes from somewhere. It's a biological process, you know. And yet we have still been living in a time when the families have been allowed to decay. Kids are, you know, no one's born within wedlock anymore. They're not, you know, single family homes are just ridiculously common. Marriages don't last. And then the spiritual side of thing, we'll go to that next, but why have we allowed families to deteriorate so much in this country? In fact, I don't know if you saw the president of Mexico, he was being interviewed. And he was glib in his answer, but it's getting at this point. He said they were talking about fentanyl. The journalist was, why aren't your people using fentanyl? And you saw the snapback. We have families. Our families are intact here, which I thought was a very interesting answer.
Absolutely. And that's been the attack on our country. It's not just through our, you know, we're in a spiritual battle of historical proportions. And, you know, as everyone knows, I've been fighting for our election platforms, but you go deeper than that, you go back a couple decades when this started, it was to destroy the family unit. And, you know, our college kids have been brainwashed. I mean, there's been just all kinds of stuff that happened back then. And it's been a manifestation of now of just, you know, I believe, you know, this is evil. This is just taking, you know, you started with that, destroy the, you know, they had already in the inner cities, you know, I spent a lot of time in the inner cities in addiction, and there was so much fatherlessness there. And I did a thing, I was in the projects once in Chicago, I was on a radio show, and I said something on there about fatherlessness, and everybody's an addict or addicted to drugs or on drugs. And this lady shamed me. She goes, how dare you stereotype us? And I said, you know what? Other than my one drug dealer's mom that was in the corner praying every day for us, I said, everybody was affected. And everyone, everyone in Chicago called this lady, this host, and just said, he's right, he's right. She had to have me back on and apologize that that's reality. You know, we didn't make it up. I think they tried to destroy the black community long before everything else, but that was the part of this, let's destroy the family unit. And you talk about Mexico, you know, with the Hispanics, they're still very tight in that unit, you know, probably the most tight of the people, you know, the families. Yeah, they're the most tight right now, and I think anyway. And so that what he was saying is true.
Yeah, no, it has been a concern, and yet it's under constant assault, as recovery has been under assault. So recovery is under assault, family is under assault. Certainly spirituality and any kind of religious program, as we saw the religion decay or back down in the 20th century, you start to see the rise of charismatic leaders and centralized authorities and mass formation psychosis, such as in Germany. These become commonplace. And I would argue we're getting into another wave of that kind of thing. At least a lot of people are still completely swept into these mass formations where they're not even thinking. They're just in a mob. And yeah. I think it is lack of anchoring, lack of, you know, whether it's some sort of meaning in life that religion used to give people or meaning that families give people. If you don't have that, you're sort of prone to almost, you know, swept into cults.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell people right now, though, you know, I do it in my speeches even. I just came from Wisconsin today, a speech I gave with our real president. Is that, can I say that on your show? With yeah, our real president.
And I don't know, it might get you in trouble. I don't think it'll get me in trouble. Caleb will just put up a disclaimer.
You better get that side ready. No, when I said to everybody, I said, you go back to December of 2019, where you had the highest consumer you have the highest consumer confidence in history. Everybody's lives had physically improved because of political decisions being made. But everybody wasn't giving thanks to God. They weren't getting on their knees going, thank you, God. Thank you for all this. But their physical lives had improved. Now, as we see our country in total destruction and fentanyl pouring in, like you say, and people are feeling hopeless and they're turning to drugs. People that haven't been addicted before to be addicted and people that are addicted get further addicted, so to speak, because addiction can be a massive escape from reality. It can when I say what's going on right now is we're in the greatest revival for Jesus Christ in history because people look to God when things are going bad. So you're seeing more and more people pour into this bucket over and over and over again. Just like my network, getting off your addictions is just a bonus. It's getting to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so all the things that are going bad out there in our country right now, if you look at it from that perspective, it's more and more people are being saved. And I think that's, that's what I look at. People say, well, how do you have a strength to keep going and going? Well, it's my faith in God, and I'm looking at it as a positive. Of course, I'm always optimistic about everything, but we've got to look at it like that. And people say, well, if Donald Trump gets back in, everything will be fixed. Well, we don't know that. This is all in God's timing and God's plan. And if things have to get bad and worse, so people, their eyes can be opened, both politically and spiritually. I think what's happening now has a lot of the silver lining will be what we see down the road, and we look back and say, wow, look at all this that got all the people that got saved, and it turned our country from like I say, the 2020 election was probably the most important election in history because it's opening people's eyes as things keep happening in our country that don't make sense. Why would you have an open border and fentanyl pouring across the border and killing people? Why would you have all this stuff if it doesn't help people? I don't care what party you're in. I don't even care if you're liberal or conservative. If it doesn't help the people, there's a different agenda, and it's a very evil agenda. It's a, and like I say, we're in, and I've said it before, you know what? If we don't get through it, then it's end times. And, you know, we all go to heaven as believers. It's a win-win. So I've always said it's we're the times we're in now are probably the most historical times, the best times to be alive, because everything now is going to be changed, and it's going to be according to God's will. And so I'm looking forward to wherever we end up here, and look back and say, wow, it was on his time. And if you look up patience, if you Google patience, you don't see a picture of me, trust me. And but I've had to learn to be patient. You know, I've had to go, okay, I want it to happen right now. And that's not reality.
Right, I'm afraid not. But we've had many great awakenings in this country. They've been very interesting. One of the things that doesn't make sense is that we allow people to die on our streets of addiction, and we give them drugs and give them needles, and we make it all legal to steal to support your habit and to traffic in the drugs and whatnot. I'm wondering if you ran afoul of the legal system a few times with your, and I'm guessing it was crack that you got into, you were saying inner city Chicago. Did the legal system get in, and did having the consequences of the legalities affect get you towards recovery?
No, I never, ever, ever got caught with drugs or any drugs. In fact, I'll tell you this quick story. It's in my book of my intervention. I had a warrant out for my arrest. Mine was always, you know, DWIs and such, and I had a warrant out for my arrest. Mm-hmm. I was downtown Minneapolis hiding out until I would get to court and be found innocent of it. And I had been up for about 14 days, and I came out of the room and all three drug dealers were standing there that control these areas. And I go, what do you guys know each other? And they go, yeah, we know who each other went in, but they had never met. And they said, I said, well, what are you doing? And he goes, well, Mike, we're cutting you off. You've been up for 14 days. I said, what is this, an intervention? They go, you call it whatever you want, Mike. And, one of them left in disgust, and the other one went down the streets, got the word out. Now, I sat there with the other, how much crack you have left? I showed him, and he sat in the chair and tried to wait me out till I ran out of crack. Well, I finally did run out, and I'm carpet farming and scraping the pipe and everything. I look over, and he's sound asleep. So I head down the streets of Minneapolis. I come back upstairs at 2:30 in the morning, and after an hour of trying to buy crack, nobody would sell me crack. They had got the word out, don't sell them anything. Well, I got back upstairs, and he says, how'd that work out for you? And he said, man, you've been telling us for years that this, your addiction thing, that you're going to quit someday, and you're going to come back and help us all out of this addiction world we're in. And he said, give me your phone. I want to take a picture for that book you said you're going to write someday. And that picture on here, where it turns from the good Mike to the bad Mike.
Oh, wow.
So to speak, that's the picture he took. That's the book or the picture he took that day. Now, to finish what I was saying there, I actually went to bed then and slept for probably 20 hours. Well, I had to get back out to Carver, Minnesota to get something to my brother, or my pillow wouldn't be here. Okay. So I head out to Carver, Minnesota, and we were working out of a little schoolhouse, and I'm looking around, and I'm, you know, kind of paranoid going out there, because if I get caught, they're going to haul me right to jail before I can get this to my brother, these papers. And but I pull into the schoolhouse. There's only one way in and one way out. And here I pass Larry, the cop, and I go, oh, no. And I fly up the hill. He gets out of his car, and he's trying to grab for his gun. Stop, Mike, stop. And I go, and I did stop, and I said, Larry, here's exactly what I said to him. I said, Larry, I know you're going to arrest me anyway, but here's the deal. I got to get these papers to my brother. It's something to do with God that's going to affect millions of people. And I said, I don't know what it is, but I said, I know you're going to arrest me anyway, but I said, if you can let him get these papers. And I said, and I'll tell you what, if you do that, you're going to arrest me anyway. I promise I'll be innocent next Tuesday. And if I'm not, you can arrest me anytime, and I promise I'll have cocaine on me. Now, I said this to Larry, the cop. I had never been busted for drugs or anything ever. You know, I did have a bar for 13 years and not a good place for an addict. But anyway, to finish that story, 9 years went by. Remember, I quit on January 16, 2009. It was like maybe six years ago. And I was doing a little parade in Carver, Minnesota, wanting to throw little pillows out like these to the kids there in this parade. And I went to do that. Now, I hadn't seen Larry in 9 years from that day. And here I put where the floats are lining up, and all of a sudden I hear, woo, woo, woo. And that was a familiar sound. I look, and here's Larry the cop pulls up, and he gets out of his car. And I go, Larry. He goes, Mike. And he goes, am I in that book? You remember what I did for the people? And I get off the float, and I said, Larry, why did you believe me back then? He quoted exactly what I just told you, everybody. He goes, he quoted me. He said, and you promised you'd have cocaine on you. You said it was had something to do with God if I didn't give the things to your brother. And I said, well, why would you believe that? And he said, you know, Mike, he said, everything you said, you were so transparent and you just put it out there. And I said, well, what about the cocaine thing? He goes, well, we all had our suspicions, but you never, you know, I was never caught or whatever. But he said, and then he did say, he goes, Mike, he goes, one of the things in your eyes, you believed what you were telling me. And he said, who was I to, you know, do something against God's will? And I just thought that was kind of and so I got a picture of Larry and I in the book that day. But so to answer your question, that really, I mean, that was a long answer, but I had a bar for 13 years. I think everybody in the county knew I did drugs. Interesting enough, after I met Donald Trump in the summer of 2015 or 16, met him for the first time, he invited me there to, just as a businessman, asking me about, you know, doing manufacturing here in the U.S. Well, I came back to Minnesota and I did a press release saying, hey, this presidential candidate, I met with him. I didn't even tell him what it was for. And the media attacked me. And one of the things they said was I was a drug dealer. Now, at that time, I'm going, what? And we made him do a retraction. And that the way I did the retraction was I wasn't a drug dealer. In fact, I did so many drugs that I tried to rid the city of Minneapolis by doing them all, you know. But I never dealt a drug in my life. I just did them all, you know. So, and there was that kind of transparency with the media. That's where that started.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the cops got to have a sense of when people are lying, when they're not, because they're lied to all the time. They certainly used to hearing lies, especially from addicts. And I wonder how paranoid the cocaine got you, because crack boy, you start to get real preoccupied about cops. So I'm surprised you could talk to him. It's well, even sober that, a little bit
remember,
at that point.
Remember, I had slept for a day. But, you know, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. Very, in my book, I talk about, you know, I was a very functioning addict for 2 decades before crack. It was cocaine, alcohol, and everyone, crack and cocaine, they're really they're 2 different drugs, I consider them. And
very different.
Yeah, very different. Anyone that's on crack knows that. And I was a functioning addict. I think people confuse addicts. They go, oh, you were, you know, it's someone homeless on the streets and whatever. And I say in my book, addiction affects everyone, no matter how many forks you eat with. I don't care if it's no forks all the way to you eat with 4 forks. I was a functioning addict, raised a family for over 2 decades. And I got into crack right around the year 2000. And I invented my pillow in 2004. Well, so you had these parallel tracks of crack addiction with the inventing of my pillow. But one of the things I always did, this was a miracle. This is what anybody that's been on crack say, that's a miracle that I was able to keep the two separate where I couldn't smoke crack. There's no way you could do a pillow show and smoke crack because you'd be paranoid tweaking out windows. You would be, it's a very paranoid drug. There's nothing like it in the planet. And it's horrific. It is absolutely horrific.
Yeah, the strange thing about the paranoia, I mean, meth creates paranoias too, but when you smoke meth, you get, but the different paranoia, that the meth creates paranoias that's focused on people close to you, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. So their relationships get completely tied into the delusions of meth. With crack, it's preoccupation with uniformed officers. And you said you're tweaking, looking out the window, and that's what you see out there is cops or infantry or something.
Yeah, there's just a fear. It's beyond anything anyone could ever experience. And before I was on crack, I had a friend that was these crack addicts that were friends of mine, and they'd always be so paranoid, and I go, well, I always feel secure around so-and-so because there's always cops around, you know, and I feel safe, you know, there's cops everywhere. You know, we could be in the middle of the dangerous place, and whether it's Mexico or an inner city, I go, don't worry, there's cops around protecting us. It just asks us.
You know? you can see them. He sees them in the trees. Yeah. And then the other thing is the crack addicts, it's always up high, it's often up high a little bit, but the other thing crack addicts do is they do something with their windows. So what did you used to do with your windows other than shut the curtains?
You got, you're tweaking out the shades and it's horrific. And you know, I've said it before.
You didn't put foil on the windows?
No, I didn't get that far.
That's a go-to. So if you see foil in the windows, it's your buddies.
Foil in the windows. Yeah. Oh, they all have that. They all have that. I just said, you know, I'm being. I know one thing is you knew how many windows were in every house you were in. I'll tell you that, you know, going window to window. And we called, when I said before, talked about carpet farming. I can do a speech nowadays in a room of addicts . And I start talking about crack with the carpet farming and not having any chore boy or whatever. And they all know what I'm talking about. You can see the ones reacting.
I know what you're talking about too. Yes. Sniffing the cracks in the, anyway.
Right, exactly. Here's the thing too, I want to say. My Lindo Recovery Network, when you first get to the website, you actually put in your age and your addiction, because every single addiction has a commonality to it. Now, and we all say what you didn't like about the drug. I never have any of them say the manifestation, like, oh, I did this, I got these tickets, I rolled a car, you know, got an accident, killed someone, whatever it is. Because another addict that hears that, they think two things in their head, either I'm not that bad or I'm worse than that. So I don't want that. Right. What I do is when you get to these hope matches is I just want the commonality of the drug. So when I sit and say to you all, hey, I got tired of tweaking out windows, what I hated about crack, tweaking out windows, running out of chore boy, running out, not having baking soda, carpet farming, I say all this. Every crack addict watching right now going, yep, he's been where I've been. Yep. And then I tell you that I got through it and they're trusting me. Wow, he's been where I've been and I want to find out how did he get through it. And so that's the website. If you go to LindellRecoveryNetwork.org, and whether it's in meth, we'll have the same thing. Heroin, I don't like the sticky finger. I mean, I've watched all these. The every single addiction. And then with alcohol, there's binge drinkers and there's maintenance drinkers. So you see the two things. So all these addictions have a commonality. But one of the things they all do is most of them will give you false courage or mass pain. I think most of them, all of them, mass pain.
That's right.
And that's right. Or give you escape. Escape from reality.
That's right.
Mass pain, and then also false courage. When I say false courage, if you read my book, one of the things that cocaine would give me, of course, was be able to talk to people and talk, because I was almost shy where I wouldn't talk to strangers. I had a bar. If someone came into my bar and I was straight and I was bartending and there was no one else in the bar, I would say, here you go. I said, let me know if you need anything. I'd be over there wiping the bar going, please leave. Because I didn't want to, I thought I didn't like small talk. But I had fear of rejection. Mm. You don't get rejected if you don't talk. So one of my biggest miracles in my book is that when I got saved, I actually got saved February 18, 2017. That's when I totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. From that day on, I'm able to talk in public. It's a little different than doing infomercials. Now it's like we can't shut the guy up, you know? Yeah. Let's attack his company. Maybe he'll still get talking. Well, not really. It's not going to happen.
I want to talk about a number of things. I've taken a little break here. I want to talk about election integrity. I want to talk about some of the cases that you've been subjected to and talk some business as well. But you're absolutely correct about the sort of natural history of addiction. The drug of choice, like trauma survivors, opiates, alcohol, right? And as you say, people that have sort of social phobias, oftentimes cocaine, alcohol, there's sort of different sort of categories that starts people off. And then the biology of the drugs have very characteristic consequences down the line, which is why the guys that you're talking to and the groups can relate when you start telling your story, because it's very, particularly crack, very repetitive in how it affects the human brain. But Mike Lindell, thank you. We're going to take a little break. I got a bunch more yet to talk to you about. We'll be right back after this. Let's talk about aging, because everyone wants to know how to slow it down. For almost a decade, I've been taking a healthy aging supplement called True Niagen. This supplement boosts NAD. That's something that cells can't live without. It's done with a patented form of nicotinamide riboside called NR, or Niagen. It's more efficient and more scientifically reviewed than NMN or other NAD boosters. True Niagen is truly the best way to boost NAD levels, and it's made by ChromaDex. They're the gold standard in the NAD space. Dr. Charles Brenner, the scientist who discovered the NAD-boosting potential of NR, explains.
And the center of the metabolism that allows the conversion of food into energy is NAD coenzymes. And NAD gets disturbed in the aging process. And as we're exposed to conditions of metabolic stress, Niagen, which is the form of NR that was developed by ChromaDex, is the best and the only fully legal form of NR. And this is really the gold standard for NAD boosting vitamins.
I love this product. I urge you to try it. Go to drdrew.com/trueniagen for 20% off your order. That is drdrew.com/trueniagen, TRUNIAGEN, and enter Dr. Drew at checkout, DRDREW, enter it at checkout for 20% off. You asked for it, and the wellness company has delivered. The medical emergency kit, replete with ivermectin, prescription antibiotics, and more, continues to fly off the shelves. We keep one here at home. And there are three new kits you need to know about, and more are coming. The Contagion Emergency Kit was inspired by the high demand for the medical kits. In that Contagion kit, you'll find ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, budesonide, and a nebulizer. And a must for your next trip is the Travel Emergency Kit, something I made sure exactly what I give my patients is in this kit and some more. The kit includes remedies for jet lag, variety of infections, even GI ailments. Imagine your flight getting grounded anywhere, say even in the U.S., and you start getting sick. You do not want to be at the mercy of the U.S. healthcare system or any healthcare system. At home, we keep the ultimate first aid kit on hand. It has over 20 essential supplies and medications for situations when time is of the essence. Order one for your car and your go bag. Because these kits contain prescriptions, your purchase includes a telemedicine consultation as well as an instruction manual. Go to drdrew.com/TWC for 10% off. That is drdrew.com/TWC for 10% off all your orders. I'm very excited about these kits. Go to drdrew.com/TWC. Indeed. We've designed them. I'm going to be meeting with those guys next week. Get things into the hands of patients and out of the encumbrances. You notice that just this week, Walgreens closed all their little clinics in the pharmacies because they weren't making enough money. Guess what? Oh, shocking. They don't care about the patients. And Pfizer now is going direct to patients. So keep an eye out for that. Be careful, everybody. And by the way, have I mentioned how much Susan and I love Paleo Valley's bone broth? We drink it every day. We're convinced it is the highest quality you will find. Definitely the best taste. At least we love the chocolate. Made from the actual bones of grass-fed and finished beef, not the hides, means it's packed with bioavailable protein and collagen. Chocolate, of course, runs out the fastest for us because we add it to our coffee daily. It also goes on the road with us. Literally, we put it in plastic bags. We also love Paleo Valley's grass-fed and finished beef sticks and their new venison sticks, which are actually my favorite. Co-founder Autumn Smith explains what makes them so special.
One of the interesting things about our beef sticks is it's fermented rather than using typical, encapsulated citric acid, which is made from GMOs and hydrogenated oils. We ferment them and that's what gives them that very unique flavor profile too. So
if you look on this, you can pronounce all of the ingredients on this label of these products.
That's right.
That's how you know it's delicious and real.
Go to drdrew.com/paleovalley for 15% off your first order and 10% off your first order and 20% off when you subscribe. That is drdrew.com/paleovalley. 10% off the first. Caleb, is it 15 if you don't prescribe and 20% if you do prescribe? I want to make sure I get that. Get subscription.
Yeah, it is.
Caleb, do you know?
Yeah, it's 15% off your first order.
Okay, it's 15%. Yeah. There it is on the screen. 15%, 20% if you subscribe. Let's get Mike back in here. Let's not sweat the details. Mike Lindell, again, I've given you the particulars, Real Mike Lindell, where you can follow him. The website for recovery is LindellRecoveryNetwork.org. And of course, you can go to frankspeech.com. Mike, let's talk.
Hey, Mike, how did he do on the ad, except for the part where I screwed it up?
He was showing us a little coaching. It's a little coaching session here for ad reads.
Looking good. I knew you would.
I got to get this down. Get MyPillow now. So, okay, got it.
Get your beef stick now.
Okay. So, business. So, I am fascinated by, I'm fascinated by your business and your story in the sense that it is such a clear story about, amongst other things, your recovery and, you know, your faith and your sort of commitment to growing your business and your customers. But parallel economies. I feel like most customers feel like the businesses that serve them hate them or don't care about them at minimum, but maybe actually hate them. And it's clear that you made it clear to customers that, no, I love you and I want to serve you. And people seem to respond to that.
Absolutely. That's what's kept us where we're at right now. I've sold 84 million MyPillows from the time I invented them. Everyone's got to remember that the first time MyPillow was attacked was the summer of 2020, not with the election stuff. It was attacked with, I had a supplement that worked on the China virus. And I put all my money into that. And then instead, the FDA turned on me. They wouldn't let me give it out. I was going to give it out free. I had $10 million worth. I borrowed money to buy it all. They stopped it here in the U.S. Then they stopped at me getting it into Israel when they made a dirty deal with Pfizer. Then they stopped me to get it into the Philippines. They stopped me to get it into Brazil. That was to give it away and save lives. Now, we used it here at MyPillow. We never had to shut down. So there was blessings that saved lives, but millions of dollars in the product that became outdated. And it was, I'm still fighting the IRS and audits over that. But this is just when they attacked MyPillow, that's when I was, at that time, on the shopping channels, that's when they canceled me. And then all of a sudden, after I go in and I want secure election platforms, and then all the box stores attack and cancel me. The people didn't change. The people all want MyPillow. I can go anywhere in this country and they come up to me. I don't care what side of politics they're on. Mike, we love your products. We love your company. It's the American dream on steroids, where you have an ex-addict, where you have thousands of employees, 100% made in the USA for our flagship product, MyPillow, right here. To be able to, I mean, that's the American dream, and to sell 83 million, I'm almost 84 million now, and watch my friends and family, we grew up together, and everybody side by side working and helping people. And you know, you're right, we went back, it goes back to our principle of we view every customer like it's our only customer. Back in the day, I drove 3 states one time, 16 hours, to deliver a birthday present of MyPillow to this young kid, because they didn't come in time. In the mail, and it wasn't our fault, but I wanted him to have that present. And this goes back to two, when you talk about 2016, when I did go all in for our real president, Donald Trump, after meeting him, did my due diligence, and I go all in. And what was the penalty for that? The Better Business Bureau takes me from an A+ to an F rating. This pay-per-play entity, the Better Business Bureau. And by the way, it's still an F, everybody. That's just fantastic, okay? It's disgusting. I was up for their torch award. MyPillow was the highest award the Better Business gets out, because we didn't have any complaint. Every customer, we took care of them. Like, what if we have, because at one time I only had a few customers, and I didn't lose track of those days where it was just, I'd be doing home shows and fairs all the way across the country and making them in a garage and selling them on weekends and going face to face with people. You know, that's where we're at. And it's a shame that we get attacked every day. The most attacked company in the history of the world is MyPillow. My employees sit here all the time, and they have to worry, are we going to have a company tomorrow? Because they're relentless, all because their CEO wants to go to paper ballots, hand count it, and secure our elections here in the United States. They're not attacking me anymore because Mike wants to overturn the 2020 election. They're attacking me because they want to keep these computers in our elections, and they don't want to go to paper ballots. And it's a shame. This is an employee-owned company. I just happen to have the most shares. And but God's getting us through, and if they thought it would stop me from talking, they were very much wrong. When they attacked me after the 2020 election and I lost all the box stores, I didn't change. I'm the same transparent person I was when I told the whole world, hey, I was a crack addict. I want to help people that were on it. I want to use something bad for good. God uses all things for good. I didn't change. What changed was I was revealed to me things in this country that needed to be fixed, or we're going to lose the American dream that I've, and I've lived it. I have lived it more than you can ever imagine. And we don't want to lose that for the future of our great kids, grandkids, our children. And it's just disgusting what they've done. And I was just at a rally today in Wisconsin, and this is one of the few times a journalist got out there and this kid just attacked me in front of the crowd, and the crowd was going to go after the journalist. They're yelling at me. I go, no, you guys, this is what I live for. I've all these journalists that attack me. I've actually, that's how I've gotten the word out. I've had to learn to deal with those attacks, because then I can get the word out that, yes, we're still doing, I'm still working every day to try and secure our election. And this kid that did this attacking, I told the crowd, I said, no, we need to pray for this guy. He doesn't know. He's just like, it's like they're still brainwashed. So I use that for good. These journalists, a lot of them, I have every one of their numbers now. A lot of them, we become kind of weird friends. They give me their articles before they print, and I go, you better bash me more or your boss isn't going to print this. So when you see these things, I got to do it all the time, because we became kind of weird friends. Wow. Look at Jimmy Kimmel. When I went on Jimmy Kimmel, he attacked me in the spring of 21. I recently went on there inside of a claw machine. I went inside of a claw machine. I didn't care. I just want to get the word out. I didn't do it to be funny. I did it because I want to reach out to people that are misconstrued, and their eyes are getting open now to the destruction of our country. And I don't care if they're going to ridicule me and attack me. It doesn't bother me. It does bother me when they attack my company and my employees every day. And that's disgusting as far as I'm concerned.
Mike, I wonder if you have a theory, since you're in sort of the eye of the tornado, eye of the hurricane here, on what this is. It's I can look at people's behavior since 2015, 16, all the way through COVID as sort of this mass formation, hysteria, delusion. And it seems like this one guy, Donald Trump, creates this tremendous reaction in people. It's just really... I'm sort of neutral. So I can see these reactions. I go, what is that? And so A, what is that? And then B, what's coming after you? It seems organized from somewhere. What are your theories, or do you know?
It's very organized, everybody. And like I said earlier in the show, I didn't even know. I was an ex-crack addict. I had never voted in my life. I didn't know a Democrat from a Republican. I didn't know what a liberal or conservative. I didn't know a filibuster from a millibuster. I was invited in August of 2016 to go meet Donald Trump in a divine appointment. It's in my book. If you want to find out how I met Donald Trump, he invited me to come and meet him. It was just him and I in a room. He had no agenda, everybody, other than this. He asked me, Mike, I want to bring manufacturing back into the U.S., like MyPillow. How is it? How is it going? He asked my opinion on that. And then also they said, now, whatever you do, don't tell Mr. Trump that you were an ex-crack addict. I walked in that room, and one of the first things I said was, yeah, I was an ex-crack addict. And I kind of looked at him, and he goes, and I said, I got this Lindale Recovery Network I'm setting up. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to shut down that border and stop the drugs pouring in. It was a businessman with a common sense solution, problem solution. I walked out of that office. I go, wow, I don't know what a president's supposed to be, but this guy makes sense. It's like a great businessman. And if he is what he is there, he's going to be awesome. But I questioned all his employees at that time. Every one of them said the same thing. Great boss, great man. And he had done something for him individually, you know. So as everybody knows now, I become great friends with him. He didn't change from the first day I met him. Everybody loved him as this businessman before he ran for president. I say what happened to our country there in the election in 2020, this is the deep state globalists, uniparty. Everybody remember that, the uniparty. And this is what's taken over in the CCP. You add them together. This has been back. You go to see what broke up the family unit. This is a battle of spiritual. It's a spiritual battle of good and evil. This isn't, you know, we're just all pieces of this much bigger picture. When you ask who attacks, here's what I always look for: deviations in behavior. One of the biggest things that surprised me when I went all in, when I finally got the, you know, one of the things I want to tell everybody right after the 2020 election, I took calculus in ninth grade and I'm looking at all these things. I look at numbers every single day. I look at numbers. I look at numbers and I go, wow, this radio station did better than it usually does. I check in to see why. You need a different input to get a different output. It's mathematics. Well, one of the things I noticed in 2020 with my own investigations in November and December was all the states and counties I looked into had people that voted there that didn't live there, which is a crime. Mm-hmm. Well, then I'm going, this is impossible. 4,000 some people voted in Nevada that didn't live there. I just couldn't imagine. People are genuinely good people. Hey, who wants to vote for Biden? Let's go run into another state. No, I didn't believe it. Then when I got my evidence in January 9th of 2021, that it was computers, and I said, wow, that explains it all. So one of the things, and I never shut up about it. Everyone in this country and the world even knows that. As my pillow's getting attacked and losing their boxers, I go, doesn't anybody care? We can't use these. We have to use paper ballots, hand counted. Well, anyway, you go through that, and these attacks, as these kept coming, the biggest thing that surprised me, everybody, was the Republicans that blocked me every step of the way. I'm going, why are you blocking? I call them uniparty Republicans. I'm going, if people are making decisions that don't help even their own party, or at least don't help all people, if it doesn't help either side, if it doesn't help us as a people, there's a hidden agenda. And it's so deep and evil, you guys cannot imagine this. They say, well, who's doing this to you, Mike? It is actually so organized from way higher up that you can't even imagine. There's things I say in the media when they attack me. I called the vaccine once the mark of the beast. You'd think that would have been everywhere. It would have been everywhere. The media went out to two outlets and they scrubbed it. They said, you know, you can't even find that I said that, because they didn't want people to actually listen to what Mike Lindell had to say. So when they went completely silent on me, that scared me. Back in 21, they went, after I came out with the movie of what happened in the election, they went completely silent on me. They didn't even attack me. That's when I came up with frankspeech.com, so I would at least have a voice. And I want to tell everybody, the day we started winning, I'm going to give everybody a lot of hope right now. Two dates in history that everybody needs to know is January 7th and 8th of 2021. Those 2 days, 1.2 million Americans were deplatformed off YouTube, Vimeo, Zuckerberg's Facebook, Twitter, all these things. And anyone else was put fear of God into them that they wouldn't talk because of January 6th. Well, that's the day our voice went down to this little tiny dot. And if that dot went out forever, it was over. But our voice, it didn't get put out those days. And now it got bigger and bigger and bigger. People start, and today where we got, and now people are getting their information from podcasts and everywhere else. The media platforms have went, you have all different social media platforms now. And it's almost like word of mouth that people are getting the real news and the real hope. So that's the day we started winning. And I've said it before, if the 2020 election was flipped over right away to Donald Trump, because of, there was fraud and they didn't get to the root of all of it, we would have lost our country forever, everybody. If evil would have been smart, they would have just said, okay, we were caught. Let's just put them back in for 4 years. We'll put up with it. And then it's over. But now so much has been found over the last 3 years. And that's going to, you know, that's going to manifest in all the stuff we found into a beautiful place we're going to get to out here. And we're going to look back and say all these bad things had to happen for people's eyes to get open and all as we learn. I'll give you an example. In my pillow in 2012, when I did my first infomercial, we went from, I said, my friends and family, we all pooled our money. We went from 10 employees to 500 employees in 20 days, the number one infomercial in the world, the end of December of 2011. But I took in $100 million in 6 months. I woke up, I was $6 million in debts and I couldn't get money from a bank. Here's the next crack at it. And I'm going, God, what did I do wrong? But you know what? I still had faith and I pulled everything in house. There had been so much betrayal. And I learned from 2012. And if 2012 had not happened, everybody, I know now there's no way my pillow would have gotten as big as it did because I learned from the mistakes I made. And I learned from those that it was horrific at the time. Same way with the 2020 election. So much has been found out. Same way with the vaccine and all the thing we had to go through with the China virus. We've learned from that. You think that evil could repeat that the way it went down? Not a chance.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Yeah, I've had a similar feeling about COVID, that it really revealed, it didn't not just reveal a lot about our healthcare system, but a lot about what was going on in this country. And I agree with you 100%.
Hey, can I intervene for a sec? Right.
Yeah.
So the chat is going wild because they're trying to buy your products.
Oh, is it his stuff that's out of stock?
I don't know.
No, there's our stuff that's out of stock.
No,
our stuff.
They said that at the top of the chat, we get credit and they want to know what the code is because they've run out of.
Oh, the code.
It said they've run out.
Yeah, it's a new feature on YouTube where you can post products that are related to the current guest. And so I listed like four or five of the MyPillow products. Some of them might be out of stock in those retailers, like in certain areas. But if they click through from that link,
they go, Walmart has them. I didn't know that Walmart.
So they're trying to buy
Walmart does not have. Walmart canceled this too. You guys use, I'll tell you what right now, I don't know if I can say it. You guys will get credit. Use promo code Drew. You use promo code Drew. How's that?
Yay!
There you go. Promo code Drew.
Yeah, I told him Dr. Drew or Drew, but I didn't know it was.
it's set up. You guys get all the savings. Everything is right now. We have our biggest commercial out there, $25 towels, 20 sets of towels. We put everything on sale for $25. We don't have a middleman anymore. The box stores are gone. You know,
they're gone.
And by the way, when MyPillow was canceled, everybody, when they canceled us, MyPillow is the number one selling product in every box store in this country's history, including Walmart, $60 buy-through. Their number one $60 and $50 buy-through in history. They canceled. Costco, same thing. Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond. We were their number one product. So you know there was a hidden agenda. They canceled us back then. Disgusting.
Non-American.
It's disgusting. In fact, I saw you in a deposition expressing your disgust at the lawyers, and I practically stood up in my seat. I was like, oh, I know what that feels like.
I mean, we sell stuff. The only way we can keep the show afloat is by selling stuff. And if that happened, I mean, I know that YouTube, like, you know, censored us and wouldn't monetize us for a while because we said the word ivermectin. That is such a terrible thing to have to deal with in the United States. It's disgusting.
A couple things jumped out of the chat.
I want to say one more thing about you guys. All the cancelizations that went down in 21, all the box stores except for a few. Then last August, I announced a plan at LindalePlan.com to secure our elections, just to secure them and get to paper ballots, hand counting. I announced that plan. That's when we were debanked, demerchant server, American Express left. We were attacked more than 21, you know, because, I mean, this, and it doesn't end. They just go, we want this. The evil wants me to shut up about these elections. And you know, like I said before, it doesn't matter. I will never stop talking and try. I love our country. I love people, and it's not going to work. So they should probably quit trying.
I think it just gives you superpowers.
Amen.
But two things jumped out of the chat. One was everyone caught note of your taking calculus in ninth grade. Like, huh? Wow, that's advanced math in ninth grade. So congratulations. Oh, no. And secondly, somebody quoted you from 1996 that news was inaccurate. You were ahead of the curve on that.
What news in
1996? I don't know. Somebody quoted you saying, or someone in an interview saying that you thought the news was fake, essentially, that something was wrong with the news outlets in the mid-90s.
I can't remember all the stuff back then that I, but I was always, if something was wrong, when I had to sell my bar, there was a thing that happened in Minnesota. That's in my book, too. It had to do with gambling, with casinos that had come to Minnesota and stuff. And I did something to protect our bar, our industry, which restaurants and bars. And I fought for what was right, and I lost on a technicality. I lost everything I had. And 3 years later, everything I fought for came true. And I got calls from all over Minnesota from restaurants going, we know you lost everything, but thanks for saving our industry. And they looked back then and said, would you do that again? I said, absolutely, I would. You know, the media asked me all the time, Mike, now that you've spent every dime you've had, which I've spent upwards of $40 million, I borrowed money, everything for this fight. And this doesn't include my own lawsuits with Lawfare, mind you, the billions of dollars I'm being sued for. This is just to try and, while they're putting money to causes, trying to help our country. Well, and they said, looking back now that you've been destroyed, if you could turn back time? I said, are you kidding me? Absolutely. I'd still be sounding the alarm louder than ever back then, knowing where I'm at right today. And they actually questioned. We came back after Jimmy Kimmel asked me. He said, in the spring of 21, he said, Mike, if your friend Donald Trump was selected, like you say Biden was, would you still be sounding the alarm? I said, absolutely, I would. Well, the Washington Post and Politico came to Minnesota, and they went around my county here and questioned all the people that knew me. Would he really be sounding the alarm? And every one of them said, yes, he would. In fact, one of my friends called me up, this Paul, and he said, Mike, I'm sorry, the Washington Post asked me, would you ever quit? And I said, they'd have to kill you. And I said, I'm sure they already know. Yeah, true.
That's so funny. My last question is, how did you settle on a pillow?
I had problems sleeping all my life with that. You know, when I was 16, kind of ironic, I bought a down pillow with one of my first paychecks. I worked at a little grocery store here in Chaska, Minnesota. And I took my first paycheck was like $80 or $90 and bought the most expensive pillow I could find. It was a down pillow. I'll never forget it. And it went flat. And it was worst sleep I ever slept on. And I couldn't return it. I was kind of devastated. But all my life, I had problems sleeping. And then in 2000, I guess it was early 2004, you know, I said, there's got to be something better. I wanted something you could adjust, and that you could adjust the height and it would stay there. And, you know, because everybody's shoulders are different. At that time, pillows were the number one non-disposable product sold in the world that didn't work. And it was all because of adjustability. When I invented my pillow, I made it, when I went to shows, anything that came out of someone's mouth, I had the answer for it. So anybody that invents anything, just look at problem and solution. And one of the ones was, I bet you don't have a pillow you can adjust and it stays there. Yes, I do. I bet you don't have one that stays cool. Yes, I do. Well, you certainly don't have one you can wash and dry. Yes, I do. How about one that lasts, 10-year warranty? So you follow me. When I did those home shows and fairs back then, whatever anybody would ask me, I had that problem solved. And then if they didn't want to buy when it came to that, then they weren't going to buy in the first place. But one of the things, my pillow solves such a problem with sleep, because it's all about our frame size, keeping our necks aligned from our distance from the head to the bed. Someone with wider shoulders needs more fill there. Nobody wants a hard
pillow. Who has one?
They want soft, want to stay there. So well, then you all know then that, you know, it's so different than any other thing you've slept on. You know, when I had the box stores, we made a lot more money because people would forget their pillows when they would go to hotels and stuff to bring them, and they'd be sitting there going, we got to run up and buy a pillow, right? Get a My Pillow, because they get to the hotels, most of them are still, their buyers are going, oh, down, it's down. Well, down, so that's why you name it down, it's a downer. You go down, your arms asleep, your head, you wake up in the morning like this, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Problem, solution.
It's a downer. Somebody named Jen Madison said, my pillows, put them in the dryer, fluff them up. Amazing.
Yeah.
Reason.
My bad. Sorry.
And you know, I do that with all my products. Like, take my towels. All of a sudden I seen a problem with towels. I'm going, wow, they feel slimy or lotiony and they don't dry you. When I grew up, towels worked. So I found out that here, I did some research. I found out in 2006, our government here in the U.S. made deals with Pakistan, China, and India and stuff that they could import towels and with no tariffs on them or whatever. And so then it became very competitive in the retail stores. So the towel companies started adding fabric softeners and lotions to them. So you feel them in the stores, you get them home, and they don't dry you. So I went and did the technology. Yeah. I researched it, put the technology back into it with advanced technology where they actually dry you and they're soft. What a concept. In my commercial, I say, look, you can line a swimming pool with it. You know, throw it out. I have fun with those commercials.
It's really fun. Well, Mike, I appreciate you being here. I also appreciate your work with Recovery. Again, it's Lindell Recovery Network. The book is What Are the Odds from Crack Addict to CEO? Mike, I'm sure Caleb will put it up there. And Real Mike Lindell on X is where you should go. And really, it's been fun to talk to you, Mike. And please do stay in touch with us, whatever we can do to help you and support you and the people you serve. You're both the addicts in recovery and your customers. I mean, I feel like you're part of their family, their community. You know, that's a nice way to create a business.
Can you also repeat the place to go to buy these, the best place?
The pillows?
Yeah. And you can go to mypillow.com or, by the way, mystore.com. Use promo code Drew. And either one helps out the program here, this great show. But you're helping. My store, by the way, is entrepreneurs. I set it up 3 years ago. 100% made in the USA products. Thousands of entrepreneurs. I vet it and protect them so they're not on Amazon. Their products get copied and they're made in China. These entrepreneurs, they rely on the sales here at my store. And then otherwise, go to mypillow.com. Everything we discount because there's no middleman. It's right to the people that have protected MyPillow and supported us. And people say, well, Mike, don't, you know, you just never let up to selling MyPillow and MyPillow product. I won't. I have a passion for it. I love helping people. This not only helps all of you, but with all the products, most of them are actually help you. And you're helping a great USA company that's employee-owned and these great employees that are right outside. Right below me is the call center. I have a call center across the country. Moms and dads working from home. And get this, the IRS attacked them even, put an attack on them, saying that they couldn't work from home. But we beat that, everybody. So this is disgusting, the attacks on this on MyPillow. And all of you, we owe it to everybody out there that supported us. So thank you. And thanks for having me on your show. Appreciate it.
You got it, Mike. Thank you so much, my friend. Talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Mike Lindell, everybody. Cheers.
I need some new washcloths.
I was just thinking you got to get some towels.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm on there right now.
Oh, good. Get some
towels.
It's
$25 for a six-piece
towel. That's what he said. It's all $25.
But I need washcloths, too. I hope they have a washcloths.
We'll see.
I also, maybe my washcloth. I had no idea that he had set up a promo code for you. So I emailed his staff to get some details on that. Had no idea.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, yeah, I am too. Because I saw some chatter.
Use code Drew when you check in.
On the restream. Because there's a lot of stuff going on there. So anyway, that was fun. Whenever we chat with some of these people that have these controversial stories behind them, I always wonder if I missed something. Did I not ask the right question? Because I always walk away going, I don't understand what the controversy is and why. Really the first time this happened to me was Jay Bhattacharya. When he came in here and I started interviewing him, I'm like, why did they attack this guy? What in the world would they attack Jay Bhattacharya for? And he became sort of the poster child for me for this feeling I'm having right now with Mike even. And Mike helps drug addicts,